Third and final hour of a lively Robbie and Rex show today. Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie Stanley and Nick Keyser producing. I'm Joe Rexroad, and happy to welcome in our next guest, as we do every Monday. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, I'm going to start with this question for you.
All right.
If the Tennessee Titans lose this week to Malik Willis, it is the lowest point for this franchise since? Fill in the blank.
Since Ken Whisenhunt. I mean, that's easy.
That sounds about right. Yep. PK was trying to go back to the loss of the Bengals, but again, it's kind of a different thing, right? It's like low point.
Yeah.
Low point, that was one of the worst losses for a great team.
It was the end
in
of a
great
point.
Era. And the end, yeah, basically since then, it's all been, well, it's all been downhill.
That was a crushing point, that's for sure.
Right.
And that's because you were so high. This would be like, oh my God, this really happened.
So, and by the way, I've got some texts of people already lining up the hot take of if they do lose, then they got rid of the wrong QB. And I mean, I think people are joking, but I mean, who knows? I don't know. But Corey, for your purposes, your evaluation right now of just of Will Levis through two games in this, let's find out about Will Levis' season.
Well, look, number one, they played two good defenses, so you know they've had their hands full these two football games, and yes, there have been two really insanely bad plays, and you can't throw them out, but let's throw them out for a second and say everything else you've seen to this point, except for those two plays, hasn't been terrible. And I guess that's not a good barometer saying, well, it hasn't been terrible. I mean, you need it to be good. But there has been good. There has been stuff that you've seen that he's been coached, you know, to do. There have been plays where he's, you know, dirted the football, plays where he's thrown it away. You know, you've seen, you know, big-time throws. I mean, shoot, his best throw yesterday got dropped. And so, you know, you have seen good in there. Would you like to have seen better? Yes. The two bad, though, are two inexplicably bad. The second, to me, is even worse than the first because it just happened. And it can't happen again. And so, you know, when I look at Will, I look at two things. I say, is he Jameis or is he Favre? Because when Favre came up, he did some crazy stuff. I mean, you know, you talk about putting the ball in jeopardy and just going all over. I mean, look, I watched him beat on the Bears for years, but the first few years, you know, he was wild, and they coached it out of him, and he was willing to have it coached out of him. You know, Jameis, just the guy who's always put the ball in jeopardy and couldn't stop putting the ball in jeopardy. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick. For, you know, he had great games, but just couldn't ever stop putting the ball in jeopardy. We saw that with the Titans some in crazy situations. And so, you know, we've got to see which one is he. Is he going to be the guy who allows himself to be coached out of some of these crazy habits of when the heat is on, his natural instinct is to just try to do anything and everything, or a guy who can get it under control? And that's what we got to wait and see.
What do you think? The special teams, you know, I, for one, pinned a ton on Craig Aukerman, but Colt Anderson is following in his footsteps. How much, I mean, obviously, we saw Jack Gibbons fail, and we saw Julius Chestnut fail. It's on the players first in my eyes, but how much, too, on the failed scheme?
Well, is it a failed scheme to ask somebody to block somebody? I mean, I, that's why I have a hard time with that. I mean, it's like Julius looked at him and just said, I don't think so. Oh, wait, I better go get him. I mean, it's just that's baffling to me how you just don't touch the guy. I mean, you know, ultimately, you know, it's the whole Star Trek thing. You're responsible for conduct of ship and crew. And so it ultimately falls on Colt Anderson, it ultimately falls on Brian Callahan. But, you know, I think that both those guys would fall on the sword for their coach and say, yeah, I just blew it. Now, they need more from their special teams. You know, they need to flip the field. You know, they need to come up with some returns as well. And I don't know what you think, Paul. I mean, in the I know it's preseason, but in the preseason, their special teams were really good. And you looked at that as a real, you know, step forward for the team because it hadn't been very good. And so that I think, you know, you talk about low points. You know, that's why it's been so crushing in particular, because it was so good in the preseason, and for it to be something that's holding the team back in the regular season is a surprise, and really kind of a crushing surprise at that.
How surprised are you as we watch this offensive line through 2 weeks be the clear worst pass protecting offensive line in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I thought that they would, you know, I thought week eight, I want to see what they were compared to week one. And I thought they would be better run blocking than they were pass blocking to start the year. And they are, they're the youngest offensive line, you know, in the league. And, you know, again, they faced two good aggressive defenses. Did I expect them to be better than they are now? Yeah, probably not. You know, I don't know what the pressure rate was. It was 50% almost the first game.
Apparently it was 60. Next Gen had it at 60.
Heading for 70, baby.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a surprise. That's not good enough. I mean, clearly people are coming after them. Look, they're facing another defense that just gave up 10 points. So they're gonna face another good one. They got to grow up, and they've got to grow up fast. For whatever those numbers are, to me, it still doesn't look as bad as it did last year.
Last year you had the left tackle just ole.
Yeah.
But I did think yesterday the right side was pretty freaking bad. I don't know about 13 pressures bad. Petit Frere, that sounds high. But I don't know, Corey. It just seemed to me like the right side, and maybe I guess you'd probably prefer this if you're the Titans. Like the right side's the questionable side. You'd rather love
you can see it coming.
The invested in left side be better. Yeah, like whereas in the first week, I think the left side struggled more. But I don't know, man. I thought it looked. I'm a little surprised by those numbers, but I did come away from yesterday saying they still can't block. They cannot protect the guy. And I'm not making you're not making excuses for Levis, but. Some of the accelerated decision making, and again, not talking about the terrible decision, but just in general, even checking down quickly, I think, with him on some plays where something else could have been there, has to be traced to that in part, right?
Well, I mean, doesn't his clock have to start really fast?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to anticipate pressure. I mean, and look, again, teams know where this group is, and so they're coming after it, but they've got to be able to win more. I mean, there's just no question about that. There's too many times where they don't just lose, but they lose immediately. And so, you know, that's got to get better. I don't know what their chip rate is, and I know part of their pass protection is their backs are supposed to get, you know, open quickly, you know, out of the backfield. But, you know, they may need to keep some people in to help a little bit more often.
Didn't feel like they screened much yesterday, did it?
They tried a couple times, and Jets blew it up. Jets were sitting on screens.
That's two teams in a row that were really ready for the screen game. So if that's taken away, then what's the counter to not having screens available? Maybe running more, right?
Yeah, run the draw. You know, bring in a tight end. You know, give yourself an extra blocker and you know. And run, yeah, absolutely. Either that or your receivers have got to be able to win quickly, and that was, you know, one of the things we talked about, you know, as well. It was one of the interesting, you know, I thought the adjustments the Jets made that won them the football game was Rodgers is underdressed. What did they do, like, midway through the second quarter then for the rest of the game? It was quick hitting. It was quick over the middle. They ran that slant over the middle over and over again where he just dropped back, planted through in like 2 seconds if it was that long. And it was a good adjustment that the Jets made, and Rodgers could execute it. And maybe there's something to that. They could count on Rodgers' accuracy to throw into tight windows in those situations. Because, you know, I thought also the Titans, you know, backed off after the turnover as well in certain things with Will. You know, when they run that jet sweep on third and three in the fourth quarter,
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you get
pilot.
Yeah. You get a TD, of course, on a play like that, kind of. But yeah, I'm with you on that. They got a lot of stuff to sort out in general. Talking to Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Last thing for you, Corey. So, defensively, it's been good. They've played well.
Gotta make turnovers.
No turnovers forced. And, you know, look, on the winning drive, you give up two chunk plays, one of them with great coverage. Jeff, I don't know if Jeff Simmons is to blame on the touchdown run. I know that he was the guy who appeared to need to be the hat in the hole there and was not there on time.
We know he's not going to raise his hand.
So what's the assessment of the defense?
You know, again, to me, the whole thing is creating turnovers. They have only created 14 turnovers all of last year. It was an abysmal number. And, you know, when Greg Williams' defense won the Super Bowl in New Orleans, they were one of the lowest-rated defenses in the league, I think yardage-wise, but they created so many turnovers. That was what they did. And I'm not saying that's what this defense wants to be, but he's a Greg Williams guy, and he wants to create turnovers. You know, they change the game. They flip the field. They create opportunities for an offense that doesn't need to drive 80, 90 yards, an offense that needs field position. They've got to come up with a way to get the football out. I mean, it's just that simple, and they have not done it to this point. You know, Harold Landry had a really good game yesterday with his two sacks, but that one where he circles all the way around from behind and Rodgers doesn't see him coming, ball's got to come out. You got to find a way to get it out. I mean, that was at like the 10-yard line. And, you know, that might be a big ask, but I think that's what Denard Wilson's probably asking right now is, guys, we've got to get the football out. We have got to find a way to change the field. You know, a lot of everything else they're doing on defense is really good. They had great change, instant change after the Levis fumble. I think they had a 3-and-out after that. So you know, that was really good. And obviously, with the game tied at 17, you can't give up, you know, the long drive. But you know, they've got to create some offensive opportunities. It's just my biggest concern for that unit right now. And you talked about those two long pass plays. One was against Snead. One was against Ouzier. So they got each one of them.
No doubt. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Men's Clinic. Thank you so much, Corey. And next week, we may be talking about 2-0 Malik Willis. What a Monday that would be.
I wonder what the league is talking about Anthony Richardson right now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Conversations to here in Indianapolis, I would think.
AFC South is miserable other than the already champion Texans, who just beat your Bears.
I mean, the league puts Richardson up on a pedestal for a guy who's never really
he's
done anything.
Well, when you're the fourth pick in the draft, you get all kinds of benefit of the doubt, apparently.
He does make an incredible couple throws every game. So
he does. There is that. Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, you got to be able to complete half your passes.
Apparently not.
So yeah. Robbie Stanley had a good day in Lambeau. So
yeah, good for him. Go.
Yep. Thanks, Corey.
All right, later.
See you, bud.
Corey Curtis, and when we come back, we'll react to Corey
and I've got the 31 NFL quarterbacks who've had similar starts to Will Levis. 11 games.
Similar starts to their careers.
11 games like Will Levis. You're going to love this list.
31. So he's 32?
He's 32 on this list.
Which is interesting because he may be ranked 32 among starters going into week 3-2. Coming up next, Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex. So Paul Kaharski in for Robbie. If you'd like to hit us up on the game phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, it's 615-737-1025. For those of you who have, and on the YouTube chat, I apologize. I have not kept up well. It is a heavy, heavy reaction day. Real quick, one thing I want to point, a lot of people point out to me, you know, scheduling MAC teams. Like, well, Notre Dame scheduled a MAC team, and what happened to them? This is true. Oh,
that's
mute yourself.
Come on, Nick. That's beautiful. So I gave you like 9 games.
Yes.
Over the course of the season, there'll be 100 games. There's one upset, and everybody said, that justifies it. The one game justifies 77-0, 38-0, 46-3. One game justifies it.
I think they're just
so you sit through 100 games.
Calm down.
And you wait for the one upset.
It's okay.
And you go, oh, the glory of the underdog. Oh, it's so fantastic.
I could be wrong, but I think they're just ripping Notre Dame. But, you know, however you want to take it, you can take it however you like. All right, give us some Will Levis stuff.
All right, so listen. Everybody was asking me yesterday on my podcast, who has started like Will Levis and turned out well? So, I plug in 11 games to start your career with 11 touchdowns or fewer, 7 interceptions or more, 9 fumbles or more.
What'd you use, by the way? This is
StatHead.
Good stuff. StatHead? Okay,
yeah.
Good stuff.
All right.
Okay.
It spits out 32 players, including
Amazing.
Will Levis.
Hey, real quick, before you tell us,
players.
You know, last week, the Athletic QB rankings, did you see that, by the way?
I did not.
Well, Will Levis was ranked 31st.
Who was behind him?
Malik Willis. Do they flip-flop going into their matchup this week? We'll find out. But go ahead.
They could. All right. This list has a little bit of hope on it. The number one piece of hope is a huge outlier. He is not going to be this huge outlier by the name of Brett Favre.
It is funny that he comes up, though, because I do think of him on the dumb plays.
Yes.
I think of him.
Two other names that are somewhat encouraging. Alex Smith. Teams went – I don't believe in wins as a quarterback stat. I say teams with him at the helm went 99-67-1. He threw 199 touchdowns to 199-109 picks.
And for those who don't remember, he was a number one overall pick for the Niners. He was very bad at San Francisco. And then he got his career rejuvenated with Andy Reid in Kansas City.
2-5 in the playoffs, but he had a 4-touchdown game and a 3-touchdown game. Neil O'Donnell led the Steelers to a Super Bowl, 120 touchdowns, 68 picks. Gets too much grief for that Super Bowl where people messed him up and didn't run to the right spots, and he threw interceptions. Started for 8 years, backed up for 5 more here. Good quarterback. If Will Levis was Neil O'Donnell, you'd be happy. All right, Vinny Testaverde.
Would you be but hold on? Would you be happy because you're trying to find a star quarterback here?
Well, he's a Super Bowl quarterback.
I mean, he was fine. He's. I know that he's one of the better examples on
this list. 120 touchdowns to 68 interceptions.
Yeah. He's a good quarterback.
All right. Vinny Testaverde's on this list. 123-1, played 21 years.
Well, and by the way, for those who forget this, number one pick out of Miami to the Bucs, terrible with the Bucs, actually had a pretty good career revival with the Jets later.
All right, here's some names I thought when I read them, these would be okay. Then I looked at their numbers, I was like, eh. Byron Leftwich, Kyle Orton, Brian Greasy,
Leftwich had a few minutes of...
Yeah, not enough minutes.
Yeah.
Then, loaded with nightmares on here. Jamarcus Russell, an all-time bust.
Yeah.
Ryan Leaf, an all-time bust. Tim Couch, an all-time bust.
Ooh.
Carson Wentz had his moment and then became fizzled out horribly.
Yeah. He at least had, I mean, he had an MVP-level season.
Mitch Trubisky, way overdrafted.
Mm-hmm.
David Carr. PTSD from being
speaking
sacked
of someone who
yeah,
76
times.
Sacks, folks. One season. 76.
The whole list is at paulkuharsky.com. Rick Meyer,
ooh.
Bobby Hoying, Blaine Gabbert, Bruce Gradkowski, Mark Sanchez. I should have looked more closely
well,
at him.
Well, you got the butt fumble, you know, parallel with some of these turnovers. Interesting. So for the most part,
Johnny Kitna, Rodney Pete. These are the kind of names we're talking about.
You know, Rodney Pete. Rodney
Come
Pete.
On, you
he had a little run with that run and shoot. He was pretty good.
A little
then
run.
Then he tore his Achilles. Well, you know, they were the
– You want more than a little run from Will Levis.
12-4 team. Got to the NFC Championship game, but he did get hurt before they made it. So, basically, what we're saying here
Stan
is –
Stan Delbaugh.
Good God.
Kyle Bowler.
Now we're really
– Josh McCown.
Now we're really hitting some home runs. So, what we're basically saying here is this doesn't condemn Levis – But the odds are it doesn't bode well. You know, it doesn't condemn him. And obviously these things, they can't be predictive. But for the most part, you start out like this, it's not going to go well. I've got somebody on the text line driven by WilsonConahan.com says, admit you were wrong, all caps, about Levis, PK, and stop going to the weekly breakfast with Amy. You're going to a weekly breakfast with Amy?
I'm never giving up that breakfast. Admit I was wrong about Will Levis. I didn't like Will Levis coming out. I give him a clean slate when he comes in. I kind of rooting for him because I like him personally, and I'd like them to have quarterback stability. And I said, we need to wait and see. My God, how wrong I was.
Admit it. Wait a minute. What's the weekly breakfast?
Yeah, I eat breakfast with Amy Adams Strunk every week.
Seriously?
No.
I'm like, this is amazing. This is fantastic. We need to get some live video.
Yeah, I'm going to find out about Colt Anderson's future.
I was like, wow, Amy Adams Strunk has decided to extend the olive branch to PK and have a nice breakfast with him. Yeah, I think she should.
I think she should as well.
I think she absolutely should. I mean, NFL owners should do this, right?
Absolutely.
Some of them are, you know, some of them actually are available, and some of them are never available. Amy Adams Strunk used to be somewhat accessible.
I had, yeah.
And is now.
Changed after COVID.
Not at
I had all. I went to Pittsburgh to advance a Titans Steelers game, and I was in line in their cafeteria with Art Rooney.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, honestly, like the season that I spent, you know, covering the Detroit Lions, which was 99, William Clay Ford was always around, man. Terrible owner. But, I mean, he was always around. He would talk after games.
That's the best kind of owner always be around.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Jerry Jones, you wish was around less.
Yeah, exactly. So, the Will Levis early returns are bad. I'm not out on him. You say you're not out on him, but you're
not out on him yet. But I mean, the trend is way down, and I need to see some signs of getting it. Show me something that says that you're getting it on the sliding, on the decision making. Something that says I'm getting it.
But see, so Adam in Portland called earlier, and here's this. This is the thing that I feel like we just need to just, and I keep repeating these, so it's, I guess it's my fault, but I feel like this is pretty prevalent. It says, say all you want about Mason Rudolph being a boring game manager. We don't need steak right now. We need rice, boring, flavorless rice to keep us alive on offense. A game manager would be 2-0 for the Titans. Damn it, Levis, why'd you shove again? Listen, it doesn't matter. You're not trying to go game manager and see if you can go 9-8. That's not the point of this season.
And look, I'm all about do what you can to win.
It would make no sense to do that.
I'm all about do what you can to win. But for this team right now, I understand what it's trying to do, and I'm with you. It's not about going 9-8, getting a middling draft pick, maybe getting the number 7 thing in the playoffs and going and getting, you know, even if you pull off an upset of the in the first round, there's no way you're winning 4 games in the playoffs with Mason Rudolph. So to get to the ultimate goal, they're trying. I understand what they're doing.
They're doing what you have to do. I mean, if you have someone that you think has a high ceiling and has the potential to be a great quarterback, then you find out. And you try to give him every chance that you can to do that. And this is, again, where Levis, we listed the concerns earlier. You said Levis first. And I agree, because this season's about him, so he has to be the biggest concern. But they are still not providing conditions for a quarterback to function in effectively in this league. They aren't, like, through 2 games. So doesn't mean that he'd magically be this, you know, 120 QB rating guy if he had clean pockets. But I'd like to see the guy with clean pockets at some point. And we may not see that before he's already sent, you know, cast aside and the Titans move on. We'll continue this when we come back. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune into the Chase and Big Joe Show from 9 to 11 for your chance to win all-inclusive tickets and Eurostone Club. See Kings of Leon live, Bridgestone Arena, Thursday, September 26th, next Thursday. Contest presented by Green River Whiskey. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly. Welcome back in. Robbie Rexro, Paul Kaharsky in for the elated Matt LaFleur-loving Robbie Stanley on his way back from Wisconsin today after watching the Packers with Malik Willis beat the Colts and Anthony Richardson. By the way, Chip from Mount Juliet says, Joe, how much longer can you and Robbie defend your takes on Anthony Richardson? He's a bust with a capital T. Potential doesn't equal greatness. First of all, I don't know what my take was, Chip. I don't remember saying Anthony Richardson is absolutely. Let me tell you something, and I guess this is like a cop-out. Because, like, look, I love Bryce Young. He was my pick of that class to have the best chance, and I liked him better than C.J. Stroud. They have completely different teams, but obviously that looks like a bad assessment. But this is my default. Will this quarterback become a star? Will this quarterback drafted one or two or eight or wherever become what they hope he is? I'm always guessing no. If I'm forced to bet on it, I'm betting no every time.
Smart bet.
So it's just that's what the numbers overwhelmingly tell you is the truth. And then you get into, okay, so what grade of quarterback is enough to invest in? The Jags just paid Trevor Lawrence. Right now, I'm sure there's some interesting talk radio going on in Jacksonville today. You just mentioned PK during the break. If you're a Titans fan, PK just read this list, right? There's a couple guys that are who have the statistical profile of Will Levis at this point in their career.
Through 11
who,
games.
Who you would take. You said you'd be crazy not to take Alex Smith.
I wrote that Alex Smith would be a home run. Doobie tweeted me, would it be, though, a game manager that couldn't get it done in the playoffs and is best known as the guy that came before Mahomes? Look, Mahomes has nothing to do with Alex Smith. I mean, they hit a home run, a grand slam getting Mahomes.
Right.
Alex Smith, his team when he quarterbacked was 99-67-1 in the regular season. If you wouldn't take that from Will Levis based on what you've seen so far, you're crazy. He threw 199 touchdowns to 109 picks. You'd take that. Then what happens in the playoffs happens in the playoffs. His team was 2-5. I mean, bleep happens in the playoffs.
Yeah, look, I mean,
you're going to get in the playoffs if you're going 99-67.
Sure. You want better. You want better than Alex Smith. We both were there when, you know, that Kansas City offense just disappeared against the Titans in the playoff game. They also lost Travis Kelce earlier in that game, by the way. But you want better?
Yes.
But
if you could get that right now?
If you could get that, and you would pay that. And you would have a chance with a quarterback like that. It did not play out. But if you have enough, if you have a good offensive line, you have a defense, you have an all-around complete team, you can win a championship with a quarterback like that. It does happen. Is it more likely to win it with Mahomes?
Of course.
And of course, but if that's the only standard, then you are just going to keep starting over and over again and again and again. Find a good quarterback. Like Ryan Tannehill.
His best, was good.
Yes, he was very good. You know, and then his time passed. And yes, they might be 2-0 with Tannehill, but that's not – you're trying to find someone who is a long-term answer. And in two games, a lot of this city has decided he's not the long-term answer.
And look, if they right the ship and, you know, contend for the seventh pick, or if this started better and they contended for the seventh spot in the playoffs or whatever, this team was not going to make a playoff run this year.
Right.
I mean, the best case scenario was get the seventh seed in the playoffs, and you know, then maybe you pick off a team in the first round in a huge upset, and that you know, and light up the city and whatever. But the idea that, like, I don't know where these people got this thing, like, that they were going to. Did you think they were going to be a Super Bowl contender this year out there?
I don't think anybody thought that. People were hoping for the playoffs because the NFL. Outside of, you know, 3-4 cities every year, that should be a hope. And, of course, you're coming off preseason optimism and all that. And, look, the Titans could be 2-0, PK. They could easily be tied for first.
I don't want the could be. Yes, just take away the bad plays and everything's good.
Well, but the point is, like, are they a competitive team? Like, do they have elements of their team that makes them competitive? Yes. Yeah. So
they competed with two mediocre teams.
So if you don't have death turnovers and you don't have just incredible high school level confounding inability to block for your punter in two straight games. Well, they do. You're a middling team that can still win and get into the postseason, right? Those odds have gotten way longer with these two losses.
Because they do have those ingredients.
Right.
And they have them until they prove they don't have them. So I go into next Sunday expecting Levis and Willis to do something stupid, and expecting special teams to do something stupid. That's who they are until they show me there's something else.
I'd say that's fair. Justin Greenberg says, I get it. We need to see what we have in Levis. They spent money giving weapons, but they should have spent more money on the O-line. Levis is panicking, making bad plays. That's on him. He's also running for his life. Bill Callahan's not a wizard. He can't turn practice squad players into starters.
Well, so, NPF is not a practice squad player. He's a third-round pick.
And Dylan Radins,
Dylan Radins is a second-round pick. They're not practice squad players. They're underachieving players right now. But their pedigree is far better than a practice squad player.
Right. But the results are bad. There's just no way around it. The results are bad. And you can't just ignore the awfulness of the offensive line in this discussion. It does not excuse anything. It certainly doesn't excuse the two decisions. The decision each game that makes no sense at all. But you can't ignore it. It's a problem. And these weapons, you know, look, actually Ridley, I would say one of the bright spots of this team would be Ridley early, right? At least he is fast and he's making some big plays for this team.
Two touchdowns and should have had another big play.
Right.
Look,
yeah,
he could. I think right behind, you know, Levis 1, offensive line 2, and they're intertwined. 3 to me is the mystery of DeAndre Hopkins.
That's your third concern?
No, on offense.
Okay.
On offense.
I got you.
I think there's a lot of mystery to what's going on with DeAndre Hopkins. He played more, I think like 30 snaps. He got, I don't know how many targets. I've got it in front of me. I mean, he caught one ball, and I think he was targeted. 2 targets, 1 catch, 9 yards. This is the guy who was Levis's security blanket last year. He could find him.
Absolutely.
If there's a big play, that's where he was looking first. And that's all gone right now. So part of it's the new offense. We talked a lot about him not being able to get things going with Ridley during camp and everything, and we presumed that it would be there with Hopkins. It's not there with Hopkins right now, and I can't help but think that Hopkins is not himself with his knee and that this knee is going to be an issue. Now, they're ramping him up. They're ramping Jamal Adams up. Jamal Adams had 2 snaps in this game.
Let's go back to that monumental signing.
Yeah, but this Hopkins thing is a big concern for me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like you said, 2 targets. He does not look like himself. Levis is not looking at him. You know, another guy, Tyler Boyd, 5 targets, 2 for 26. There was actually a really good Levis throw. I think one of his best throws yesterday was a 17-yarder for Boyd. But Boyd,
he's not going to get you anything beyond the catch.
I haven't seen the man versus zone breakdown of the Jets, but it seemed to me they played a lot of man yesterday, and Tyler Boyd was covered well a lot of the day.
He needs to go against zone.
That's right. That's another thing that you sit in the press box and yeah, there's the pass pro. I will say on Levis's behalf too, I saw a lot of offensive passing plays where there was no, like, the only answer was, okay, check it down to Pollard. Like the Jets covered pretty well, and so
yeah, I think Ridley got some separation, which is sure. The guy that should get some separation.
I mean, he took
beyond the plays that he got the ball.
He took 3 shots. Whatever you think of the touchdown to Ridley, I mean, it might have been a little bit lucky, but he took 3 shots, and that was a touchdown. And Burks should have caught the other one. It turns into a pick for Levis. To me, that's more on Burks. And Ridley should have caught the first shot.
Yeah, and said so.
So, in terms of throwing the ball downfield, when he was able to, I'd say it was not bad, and I'd say more of that if you can figure it out. But, again, you let the guy be able to stand in the pocket.
Yes.
Looks like some breaking news here, by the way. Pacheco fractured fibula. That is brutal. That is brutal for the Kansas City Chiefs. Very good player for them. So, did you get to watch much of that game as you were writing yesterday?
Yeah, I was kind of revising and writing and watching all at the same time and anticipating how I wasn't asleep for my early wake-up call.
Ed says, can positive PK call into the show, please? I don't know if we can get a positive PK. There may be
in a negative mood today. That's what he told me when I talked to him.
There may be a time for positive PK soon where he's just going to be necessary. But, yes, today is not the day for positive PK. All right, we come back. We will wrap up the show. It's been a lively one. Get in your last words here on Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Jeffrey Simmons seemed to have an ongoing thing going.
Yeah, he started that. Yeah, he was calling me some mean names out there. Called me a crybaby a few times.
The pass that you completed to Garrett.
That's true. And I called him a crybaby back. And that's, yeah, after he had the roughing call. And then we had a couple laughs after the game, so all's well.
And that was Aaron Rodgers talking about his interactions with Jeffrey Simmons. There was some, it got a little chippy there. All is well, especially for the Jets because they won the game. But Jeff Simmons, what did you think about how he played yesterday, PK?
I want more.
Yeah, again, I don't know that it's fair to say Jeff Simmons at fault on the winning touchdown run, but he was the defender who did not get there quite in time to the gap. I mean, it was a big hole. So a lot going on every play. But he was late and slammed his fist on the turf as the winning touchdown was,
five,
was run in.
Credited with five tackles, which is a big number for a defensive lineman, generally speaking. But not credited with a sack, a tackle for a loss, a quarterback hit, pass defense, anything like that.
I want to, Adam in Portland has been very prevalent in this program today, and I do want to read this from him. It's going to get to the point where I can't make a ham and cheese sandwich without getting pissed off at Will Levis. If this doesn't work out, I will never eat mayo again. And when people ask why, I'll tell them about a quarterback we used to have who made me hate it. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Adam. You're actually this could be like a life-changing condiment moment for you. Matthew Nashville says, say Levis has a third week in row with a horrible turnover. At what point would you consider taking him out of the game for Rudolph to send a message to Will that this type of Carson Wentz hero ball is unacceptable? We've addressed
this
already.
Do we think he doesn't know that? Like, do we think he needs to be taken out of a game to understand that they're not happy with these plays?
Right. I think if you take him out,
it's to settle him down and it's to have him watch a calmer form of play take place. But it's not to say this idea that he needs to be punished or sent a message, and that the only way to get that message through is to pull and punish him. I don't really get that thinking.
Yeah, it's look, he, whatever you want to call it, hero balls it, panics it. What'd you say earlier?
Superman complex.
You know, these plays where it's like you have to know in that split second nothing you do is going to help you anyway, so take the sack. Go down.
Know when the journey's over.
There you go.
I hate that. But
who came up with that?
I don't know, it's just everybody says it, but it sounds so
know when the
non-footballish.
Journey's over. Yeah, sounds like deep thoughts with Jack Handy. So yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, if he gets benched at some point, it might be finality. But right now, you're not even close to that. Maybe a series, like you said, to calm down. But you know, the thing is, then what happens is Rudolph comes out and leads a touchdown drive, and you've opened that up. So Caleb says you can't blame the defense either loss. They can't help getting put in bad positions, getting put back on the field in plus territory because of the offense. Can't make every play. It's not logical to expect them to keep everyone under 14 points. I agree. Defense has played well enough to win two games. They do need to turn people over.
I think they can be expected to make a stand on the last series.
Yeah. I mean, that look.
The Jets got the ball at their 29.
You're asking them for everything. Aaron Rodgers finally put together a drive. It is also Aaron Rodgers, and Garrett Wilson, to me, is – one terrific. Of the most talented receivers in the league.
And they kept him quiet.
And if you can't let that team have one touchdown drive on you and win, then that you are asking too much of your defense. But you're right.
They got the ball at the 30.
Sure. But again, it's like the defense overall, I'd call it encouraging. They have to turn people over, but the pass rush there, I think, like I still think watched a lot of Snead yesterday as he did travel a lot with Garrett Wilson. That did happen, by the way. We talked about whether it would. And he did a
good job.
Really good
except
job.
Except for that 26-yarder on the last drive, which started at the Jets 26. My third try, I finally get it straight.
A woozy.
He can't defend that throw to Mike Williams.
No.
But that's all Mike Williams did, right?
I said this to TD. I said this to TD yesterday in the press box. I'm like, one guy I haven't noticed at all this season, which is good, is a woozy. Like, he's a good player, and you can't really cover better. I mean, look, you can hope that he turns his head around at the exact right moment and locates the ball, but the coverage was very good. So there's a lot to like about the defense, but yeah, look, they're going to need to do more apparently because this team scores 17 freaking points a game. Ed in Jersey, quickly, question for PK. Ed in Jersey, calling back.
Hey, thanks. Hey, Paul, just a question. I know football, basketball is different. Sometimes a basketball player, you sit him for 3-4 minutes when he's off. Would you do that with Levis just for maybe a series or two? Or is that not something you would do? You never see that in football, but just to give him an opportunity to say, look, you know, that you can't make that kind of bonehead play. Would that help or not? Because I'm really in Levis' corner. I really am.
Well, he gets to sit during a defensive series. I mean, so he's off the field after the bonehead.
Exactly.
Play.
They get time to talk to him and settle him down. That's right.
Show him film.
Right.
Show him pictures.
Difference between basketball and football. Right. It's like you have your unit's off, so you have all that time to settle down. Let's look at the pictures. So it's. Maybe you said it. You did say settle them down, take them out. If they,
I don't think it's inconceivable, but I think it's highly unlikely that's going to happen.
It opens
too many cans of worms.
Yeah, like look, Will Levis is going to play quarterback for this team, and I know this is where it gets funny. If you take out that play, I'm saying moving forward. Take out the death, the miracle flip. Take it out and you know, get back to – I thought he did make some progress, actually, PK, and at least getting down. He didn't do the classic baseball slide. He got down on that really good run that gave him a chance to tie it late.
It's a great run, 13-yard run. But slide and, feet first. Just do it. Stop telling us you're going to do it.
Fine.
Stop
but he got down.
All of that. Do it.
But he got down.
All right, so that's progress.
Yes.
But I don't want progress. I want you to do the actual thing you're coached to do. Do it.
But you say.
Just do it.
Yeah, but in some situations, it makes sense to just go fall forward. I'm fine. If you fall, you're fine. If you fall and they come down and hit you, you're getting 15 that way too. I mean, you're getting 15. So, and you don't get docked the yardage from where you started your slide. You get it where the ball ends up. Just go down. I can live with that.
Go feet first. Look, because if people want him out, that's what's going to get him out. He's going to get concussed, and that'll get him out. And then Mason Rudolph will go play well, and then he'll have trouble getting back in. If he wants to stay in, he'd be wise to slide. Because the surest route to a concussion or shoulder injury is not getting down.
Okay, so slide. Keep making progress there. Take out the miracle
I don't want
flip.
Progress. I want it done.
Well, the next thing of progress is a slide.
Yeah,
There's no in-between.
Be a done deal.
And then?
Like, assuredly, he's sliding.
And then maybe.
And throw nothing underhanded or in a flip. All overhand throws. If you can't make an overhand throw, eat it.
And there it is, the last word from Paul Kaharsky. Robbie and Rex showed it's been a lively show. Chasing Big Joe coming up next.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.